The Best of Me by Nicholas Sparks. There was no awkwardness at the door when they returned to the cottage. Amanda made for the kitchen as Dawson turned on the lamp. She refilled their glasses of wine, feeling both unsettled and secretly thrilled at exactly the same time. In the living room, Dawson turned the radio dial until he found some old-time jazz, keeping the volume low. From the shelf above, he pulled down one of the old books and was thumbing through the yellowed pages when Amanda approached him with the wine. Returning the book to its spot on the shelf, he took the glass and followed her to the couch. He watched as she slipped off her shoes.
"It's so quiet," she said.
Setting her glass on the end table, she pulled her legs up and wrapped her arms around her knees.
"I understand why Tuck and Clara wanted to remain here."
The dim light of the living room lent her features a mysterious cast, and Dawson cleared his throat.
"Do you think you'll ever come back here again?" he asked. "After this weekend, I mean."
"I don't know. If I knew it would stay like this, then yes. But I know it won't, because nothing lasts forever. And part of me wants to remember it just like it was today, with the flowers in full bloom."
"Not to mention a clean house."
"That too," she agreed. She reached for her wine, swirling it in the glass. "Earlier, when the ashes were floating away, do you know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about the night we were on the dock, watching the meteor shower. I don't know why, but all of a sudden it was like I was there again. I could see us lying on the blanket, whispering to each other and listening to the crickets, that perfect musical echo. And above us, the sky was just so alive."
"Why are you telling me this?"
Dawson's voice was gentle. Her expression was melancholy.
"Because that was the night I knew I loved you, that I'd really and truly fallen in love. And I think my mom knew exactly what had happened."
"Why do you say that?"
"Because the next morning she asked me about you, and when I told her how I felt, we ended up in a screaming match. A big one, one of the worst we ever had. She even slapped me. I was so shocked I didn't even know how to respond. And all the while she kept telling me how ridiculous my behavior was and that I didn't know what I was doing. She made it sound like she was angry because it was you. But when I think back on it now, I know she would have been upset no matter who it was, because it wasn't about you or us or even your last name. It was about her. She knew I was growing up and she was afraid of losing control. She didn't know how to handle that, not then and not now."
She took a sip and lowered the glass, spinning the stem with her fingers.
"She told me I was self-centered this morning."
"She's wrong."
Dawson shook his head.
"I thought so too," she said. "At first, anyway. But now, I'm not so sure."
"Why would you say that?"
"I'm not exactly acting like a married woman, am I?"
Watching her, he held his silence, giving her time to consider what she was saying.
"Do you want me to bring you back?" he finally asked.
She hesitated before shaking her head.
"No," she said. "That's the thing. I want to be here, with you, even though I know it's wrong."
Her eyes were downcast, lashes dark against her cheekbones.
"Does that make any sense?"
He traced a finger along the back of her hand.
"Do you really want me to answer?"
"No," she answered. "Not really, but it's complicated. Marriage, I mean."
She could feel him weave delicate patterns across her skin. "Do you like being married?" Dawson asked, his voice tentative. Instead of answering right away, Amanda took a sip of her wine, collecting herself.
"Frank is a good man, most of the time anyway, but marriage isn't what people think it is. People want to believe that every marriage is this perfect balance, but it isn't. One person always loves more deeply than the other. I know Frank loves me, and I love him too, just not as much. And I never have."
"Why not?"
"Don't you know?" She looked at him. "It's because of you. Even when we were standing there in the church and I was getting ready to take my vows, I can remember wishing that you were standing there instead of him. Because I not only still loved you, but loved you beyond measure. And I suspected even then that I would never feel the same way about Frank."
Dawson's mouth felt dry. Then why did you marry him?
Because I thought it was good enough, and I hoped I could change. That over time, maybe I would come to feel the same way about him as I did about you. But I didn't, and as the years went on, I think he came to see that, too. And it hurt him, and I knew it hurt him, but the harder he tried to show me how important I was to him, the more suffocated I felt, and I resented that. I resented him.
She winced at her own words.
I know that makes me sound like an awful person.
You're not awful, Dawson said. You're being honest.
Let me finish, okay? She said. I need you to understand this. You need to know that I do love him, and I cherish the family we've created. Frank adores our children. They're the center of his life, and I think that's why losing Bea was so hard on us. You have no idea how terrible it is to watch your child get sicker and sicker and know that there's nothing you can do to help her. You end up riding this roller coaster of emotions, feeling everything from anger at God to betrayal to a sense of utter failure and devastation. In the end, though, I was able to survive the pain. Frank never really recovered, because underlying all those other things is this bottomless despair, and it just hollows you out. There's a gaping hole where all this joy used to be, because that's what Bea was. She was joy in living form. We used to joke that she came out of the womb smiling. Even as a baby, she hardly ever cried, and that never changed. Even as a toddler, she just laughed all the time. To her, everything new was a thrilling discovery. Jared and Lynn used to compete for her attention. Can you imagine that? She paused, her voice becoming more ragged. And then, of course, the headache started, and she began bumping into things as she toddled around. So we visited a host of specialists, and each of them told us there was nothing he could do for her. She swallowed hard. After that, it just started getting worse. But she was who she was, you know, just happy. Even toward the end, when she was barely able to sit up on her own, she still laughed. Every time I heard that laugh, I'd feel my heart break just a little bit more.
Amanda was quiet then, absently staring toward the darkened window. Dawson waited.
At the end, I used to lie in bed with her for hours, just holding her as she slept. And when she'd wake up, we'd lie there facing each other. I couldn't turn away because I wanted to memorize everything about the way she looked, her nose, her chin, her little curls. And when she'd finally fall asleep again, I'd hold her close and just weep at the unfairness of it all.
When Amanda finished, she blinked, seemingly unaware of the tears spilling down her face. She made no move to wipe them away, and neither did Dawson. Instead, he sat perfectly still, attuned to every word.
After she died, part of me died too. And for a long time, Frank and I could barely look at each other. Not because we were angry, but because it hurt. I could see Bea and Frank, and Frank could see her and me. And it was unbearable. We barely held ourselves together, even though Jared and Lynn needed us more than ever. I started to drink 2 or 3 glasses of wine every night, trying to numb myself. But Frank would drink even more. Finally, though, I recognized that it wasn't helping, so I stopped. But for Frank, it wasn't so easy.
She stopped to pinch the bridge of her nose, the memory awakening the familiar traces of a headache.
He couldn't stop. I thought that having another child might heal him, but it didn't, really. He's an alcoholic, and for the last 10 years he's lived half a life, and I've reached the point where I don't know how to give him back that other half.
Dawson swallowed. I don't know what to say.
I don't either. I like to tell myself that if Bea hadn't died, this wouldn't have happened to Frank. But then I wonder whether his decline was partly my fault, too, because I'd been hurting him for years, even before Bea, because he knew that I didn't love him in the same way he loved me.
It's not your fault, he said. Even to him, the word sounded inadequate. She shook her head.
That's kind of you to say, and on the surface, I know you're right. But if he's drinking to escape these days, it's probably to escape from me, because he knows I'm angry and disappointed, and he knows there's no way he can erase 10 years of regret, no matter what he does. And who wouldn't want to escape from that, especially when it comes from someone you love? when all you really want is for them to love you as much as you love them?
Don't do that, he said, capturing her gaze with his own. You can't take the blame for his problems and make them yours.
Spoken like someone who's never been married.
She gave him a crooked smile.
Let me just say that the longer I've been married, the more I've come to see that few things are ever black and white. And I'm not saying that the problems in our marriage are entirely my fault. I'm just saying that there might be a few shades of gray somewhere in there. Neither one of us is perfect.
That sounds like something a therapist would say.
It probably is. A few months after Bea died, I started seeing a therapist, twice a week. I don't know how I would have survived without her. Jared and Lynn saw her too, but not as long. Kids are more resilient, I guess.
I'll take your word on that. She rested her chin on her knees, her expression reflecting her turmoil.
I never really told Frank about us.
No?
He knew I'd had a boyfriend in high school, but I didn't tell him how serious it was. I don't think I've ever told him your name. And my mom and dad, obviously, tried their best to pretend it had never happened at all. They treated it like this deep, dark family secret. Naturally, my mother breathed a sigh of relief when I told her I was engaged. She wasn't thrilled, mind you. My mom doesn't get thrilled about anything. She probably considers it beneath her. But if it makes you feel better, I had to remind her of Frank's name. Twice. Your name, on the other hand.
Dawson laughed before suddenly growing quiet. She took a sip of wine, feeling the heat as it slid down her throat, barely aware of the soft music still playing in the background.
So much has happened, hasn't it, since we last saw each other?
Her voice was small. Life happened.
It was more than just life.
What are you talking about?
All this, being here, seeing you. It makes me think back to a time when I still believed that all my dreams could come true. It's been a long time since I felt like that.
She turned toward him, their faces inches apart.
Do you think we could have made it if we'd moved away and started our lives together?
It's hard to say.
But if you had to guess.
Yes, I think we would have made it. She nodded, feeling something crumble inside at his answer.
I think so, too.
Outside, a squall began to force waves of rain against the windows like handfuls of tossed pebbles. The radio played softly, music from another time, which blended with the steady rhythm of the rain. The warmth of the room was cocoon-like, and Amanda could almost believe that nothing else existed.
You used to be shy, she murmured. When we were first paired together in class, you barely spoke to me. I kept dropping hints, waiting for you to ask me out and wondering whether you ever would.
You were beautiful, Dawson shrugged. I was no one. It made me nervous.
Do I still make you nervous?
No, he said, then reconsidered. A slight smile eased onto his face. Maybe a little. She raised an eyebrow.
Is there anything I can do?
He took her hand and turned it this way and that, noting how perfectly they seemed to fit together, reminding him again of what he had given up. A week ago he'd been content, maybe not perfectly happy, maybe a bit isolated, but content. He understood who he was and his place in the world. He was alone, but that had been a conscious choice, and even now he didn't regret it. Especially now, because no one would have been able to take Amanda's place, and no one ever would. Will you dance with me? He finally asked. She answered with the ghost of a smile.
Yes.
He rose from the couch and gently helped her up. She stood, her legs feeling shaky as they moved toward the center of the room. The music seemed to fill the room with longing, and for a moment neither of them seemed to know what to do. Amanda waited, watching as Dawson turned to her, his face unreadable. Finally, placing a hand on her hip, he drew her closer. Their bodies came together, then she leaned into him, feeling the solidness of his chest as his arms circled her waist. Ever so slowly they began to turn and sway. He felt so good to her. She breathed in the smell of him, clean and real in everything she remembered. She could feel the taut plane of his stomach and his legs against hers. Closing her eyes, she laid her head on his shoulder, flooded with desire, thinking of the first night they'd ever made love. She'd been trembling that night, and she was trembling now. The song ended, but they continued to hold each other as another song started. His breath was hot on her neck, and she heard him exhale, a kind of release. His face inched even closer, and she leaned her head back in abandon, wanting the dance to last forever, wanting them to last forever. His lips grazed her neck first, then gently brushed her cheek, and though she heard a faraway warning echo, she strained toward the butterfly touch. They kissed then, first hesitantly,
then more passionately, making up for a lifetime apart. She could feel his hands on hers, all of her. And when they finally separated, Amanda was conscious only of how long it had been since she'd ached for this, ached for him. She stared at Dawson through half-closed eyes, wanting him more than anyone she'd ever known, wanting all of him, here and now. She could feel his desire as well, and with a moment that seemed almost preordained, she kissed him once more before finally leading him to the bedroom.